It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Yet another off-the-wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am Chris Sheeran, and we'll be meeting our co-host in just a bit, and that would be, of course, Joe Auriemma, my producer slash co-host slash godfather of YesNetwork.com. He loves that. Let me tell you, Auriemma loves being called the godfather of YesNetwork.com. This kid can quote lines from Goodfellas, The Godfather. He is like Yes Network's let-alone mafioso. That is Mr. Auriemma. Having said that, everyone should know that I am getting caffeinated as we speak. Little D&D, French vanilla, regular. Wednesday is my day for caffeine, and it's because I have to bring it to the table for you guys out there listening to this podcast. We're going to talk a little bit about everything. It's kind of a melting pot in the sports world right now. We've got baseball going down the stretch. Like the Kentucky Derby, the horses, close. Some of them are. Some of them, you can't see them. We start the podcast, though, as always, with your first place, New York Yankees. I say it every week, I'm going to say it again, just to pound it home to you half-empty glass Yankee fans. Glass half-empty. Sorry, I juxtaposed some words there. Glass half empty. You know who you are. Pointing at you. This is our sixth. I misspoke last week. I said it was our fourth. It was our fifth. So this is our sixth podcast. And it's no coincidence that every time we've done this podcast, the bald head of hope, the lighthouse of hope, this big bald white head of mine, trying to bring everybody off those choppy waters and onto safe ground where the Yankees have a very comfortable lead in first place right now in the American League East. Sixth week in a row, your first place Yankees lead off the podcast. We're going to talk about Jabba Chamberlain. He had extended rest. It was 8 days. He last pitched in Seattle. And then he pitched against the Rangers. We all know what happened. He had a 4-0 lead. And it vanished rather quickly. Now, when he's on regular rest, he's undefeated. When he has extra rest, I believe he's 4-3. With a pretty elevated ERA. I think it's time for the Yankees to stop the insanity, give this guy his normal rest, and let him pitch. Okay, I could sit here and waver back and forth, saying I know what the Yankees are trying to do, trying to save him for the future. But if your MO, your modus operandi, is to win a World Series, you need your best players on the field. Your best. Jabba Chamberlain is one of your best pitchers. In fact, since the break, his first four, 4-0, ERA just over 2, 2.02 to be exact. He walked 15, struck out 24. Still a lot of walks. Opponents in those first four games hitting 156. That's 14 for 90 to you and me, Russ. 4 earned runs or more in all 3 starts in his last 3. In his last 3. He's 0-2 with a 9 ERA. Walked 8, struck out 12, and the opponents now are batting 328. It's obvious with the extra rest, he's losing some command. He might be losing some velocity. This is what happens. You know, Mike Mussina, when he pitched for this team, He had to go every fifth or every sixth day. Or, excuse me, every fourth or every fifth day. Had to. That was his thing. I mean, these pitchers are weird birds. They need to do things regimented. Just like a hitter. Wade Boggs used to walk in the same footprints to the batter's box if he got a hit the last time. Ate a whole fried chicken. All right, we'll talk about Jabba with Joe. We'll also talk about the Mets. Met fans, put the gloves and the spikes away. This year's over. 2010 is what you're focusing on right now. I heard somebody on talk radio today, some woman, say, I don't want to do it, you know, I don't want to put anything away until we're mathematically eliminated. Listen, lady, math has nothing to do with it. They're done. We'll also talk about football. Michael Vick's going to play this week. Brett Favre will be playing Monday night. We'll also talk Giants and Jets. It's all coming up next if you stick it right here on the Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
And welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I, of course, am your host, Chris Sheeran, and now I'm joined by Joe Auriemma, the godfather of YesNetwork.com, also my co-host and producer of the Off the Wall podcast. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's an honor to be in your presence.
And, you know, last week, Joe was using the microphone that you clipped to your shirt.
Right.
That's called a lavalier microphone.
Right. That's what we normally use, but one of our lavs
is bad.
Is, you know, broken down.
So, Joe this week is using a stick mic. And, Joe, you said it so eloquently before we started taping.
It is the stick mic that I believe Bob Barker used on The Price is Right. I'm holding it from the bottom going, the next item up for bids. I feel like I want to play Plinko now.
Oh, God. All right. Well, having said that, I like the mountain climber myself. La-di-do-di-da. So let's get into Jabba a little bit here.
Yes.
And the Yankees first. And do you think, in the open, in the monologue, I said that I thought the Yankees should take the kid gloves off. Kevin Kernan, one of, you know, New York's best sports writers, said, you know, it's time to take the bubble wrap off. His words, not mine. And I agree. I mean, if your mission statement every year is to win the World Series, you got to go with your best. And you know what? I know they're trying to save the kid's shoulder. He's had problems in the past. But guess what? The Red Sox, even though, you know, they're in a distance now, it could change in a heartbeat. It could still change in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
I joked around in the open. You know, that's a joke. The Red Sox are not a joke. The Red Sox still have pitching. They added Billy Wagner. It's going to strengthen the back of their bullpen.
You're right. Baseball's a funny game, Chris. It could really...
So, what do you think the Yankees should do with Jabba?
Okay, personally, I think the Yankees, all they need to do is look just across the field at what the Texas Rangers have done with their pitching staff. Nolan Ryan has the philosophy and the theory that with young pitchers, you should do to them what they did to them in years past. And the only way they're going to get better is pitching. Pitching, pitching, pitching. The more pitching they you know, the more the times they go out and pitch, the better they're going to get.
And the longer
arm
they stay
strength,
out there, right.
Control, everything. And the Yankees have taken the other philosophy, which most major league teams have done, and that is pamper these guys for a couple of years.
Because people like Mark Pryor,
right.
People like Kerry Wood, you know, right. These guys broke down at an early age, and now the Yankees are worried about, you know, rushing job out there every fifth day with his age being what it is, and God forbid he gets hurt. Now, listen, you can get hurt if you're a pitcher, if you're going every fifth day or every tenth day.
No,
it doesn't
right.
matter.
If
your shoulder is going to go, it doesn't matter how long you rest. Now, I'm not a doctor, and you know, the Yankees medical staff might laugh in my face, but if your shoulder or your elbow is going to go, guess what? It's going to go.
I agree with that. And when you're throwing at so many different angles and how hard they're throwing. You're right. It's a possible. It's going to happen either every fifth day or every tenth day, or it's just going to happen. It's one of those things. It's going to be an accident. I will say this, Chris. I see what the Yankees are doing in one sense, and I don't understand what the Yankees are doing in another sense. You mentioned in the open that when he pitches on normal rest, the guy is undefeated. He's having a good year when he can go out there and get his groove on, so to speak.
Right.
When he can go out and pitch, that's where he, you know, his velocity can, you know, hit its peak number, which we've seen it at 95, 96 this year. And that's what sets up the slider and all of his other pitches. But when his velocity is down, you know, those other pitches aren't fooling anybody. That's the other thing.
He was leaving, in his last start against the Rangers, he was leaving a lot dead red right over the plate. John Flaherty said it. In his first couple of starts, he talked to me on Yankees batting practice today, and Flash said, in those four starts after the All-Star break, Jabba was relying mainly on his fastball and his slider.
Right.
The two pitches that made him who he was out of the bullpen.
Right. He was attacking hitters.
Right. Now it seems he's going back to the change. He threw 96 pitches in four innings.
And that's another problem with Jabba. Even when he's on, he has control issues. He gets to a lot of 3-2 counts. He throws a lot of pitches. I mean, there was a point last night where he was at 80 through, you know, not even through four. It's just he's got an issue where they need to rectify this if they want to make him a big-time starter for this team for years to come.
Well, look.
He needs to get control.
Yeah, it's 24 pitches an inning the other night against Texas. I mean, you just can't have that. You're going to lose control, and he gets frustrated. And you see when he gets frustrated and he gets behind in the count, there was a time to Josh Hamilton. He was 3-2 to Josh Hamilton, and he lollipopped a slider in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And Hamilton destroyed it. He's lucky he didn't get under it enough to put it out of the stadium, for crying out loud. Now, let's move on, Joey, and talk about the Mets really quick. We're going to talk about the Mets,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll talk about football
right.
next. But let's square away some Mets stuff here.
Okay.
Because I know there's some Mets fans out there that listen to this podcast. So even though they're completely out of the race, and again, joked about it in the open, it's just to get you going a little bit, get you listening. You know, little twist of the knife. But the Mets, there's nothing more that can go wrong with this team this year. Johan Santana is now history. He's George Washington.
Pitching with bone spurs in his leg, by the way, which caused the tear. It's just...
I give the guy, listen, if he doesn't tell the training staff, it's on him. But at the same time, he's got to be saying to himself, with what's been going on with this team this year, I have to man up.
And not only that, but do you really want to tell that training staff?
No, that's true, too.
These guys have botched so many injuries right now.
Yeah, and we go back to that call from earlier in the podcast.
These guys are going to Jupiter.
Right.
To rehab.
Right, and I heard somebody on the radio today say Siberia, so a little closer than Jupiter, but you just don't know what's going on with these injured Mets, and it's just been, you know, a comedy of errors. I never thought I'd say this in my life, but I actually feel sorry for Met fans. I mean, usually you get into like heated discussions with Met fans, and they could poke and prod, and you could poke and prod them back, and
right.
and give them stuff. There's a guy at the gym that's a huge Met fan, and last year when the Yankees were just, you know, god awful at points during the season, and the Mets were in first place for a time, you know, he was giving it to me pretty good. So this year, when the Yankees started doing well, I could not wait to talk
to
smack.
I agree.
But you know what? I can't.
No, you know what? They're fielding.
It's like kicking a puppy.
They're fielding a AAA ball club right now. That's what they're doing. I mean, when you lose, they've lost their entire starting lineup for points at certain points of the season. Maybe not for the full season, but Wright's been injured, Reyes, you know, Sheffield's been out, and he's just been a headache. But they've lost basically their entire team.
Yeah, but Sheffield for $400,000 has done a pretty good job.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree. But they should have let him, you know, clear waivers before pulling him back. But that's another story for another day.
Right.
the whole issue right now is the Wilpons kind of feel the same way you do. Fred Wilpon did come out and say that Omar Minaya is his guy. Omar Minaya came out and said, well, if I'm here, Jerry Manuel is my guy. And it looks like, you know, from what I, you know, we both said a couple of weeks ago where we think that they should clean house and start over, it looks like they're getting a reprieve because of all of these injuries.
Now, this is, like, patently ridiculous, and it's also understandable in the same breath. And it's patently ridiculous because, listen, Omar Minaya is the big boss man. Besides the Wilpons, he's the big boss man, okay? Right. He's a general manager of the team, which means Tony Bernazard was under his control.
Right.
Bernazard did what he did, you know, becoming the Incredible Hulk with a AA baseball
team. I like these WWE references. We should see Omar Minaya come out with the shorts and the cop shirt.
The big boss man? Well, the Wilpons should be the Undertakers.
Oh, boy. Who's and, Paul Bearer?
Yeah.
Oh, the Mets not having a good season.
Oh, God. The images that pop into your head when you just start talking about old school WWE. Vince McMahon, say what you want about him, but the man is a genius. Anyway, moving forward, I just believe that, see, it's patently ridiculous to keep all these guys, and it's also understandable. Jerry Manuel, what has the guy done? Who has he managed? Like Joey said, it's been a Triple A team for most of the season. So you can't really bring him into your office and say, hey, Jerry, look, you're not getting it done this year. We got to let you go. How could you do that?
You can't.
You got to give the guy at least a season where he has the right personnel. But when he did have the right personnel, he was botching it up a little bit. And people were, because I'm a big Willie guy, he's my favorite player growing up. Willie Randolph was not the problem. He might have been. Maybe they didn't like him in the clubhouse and they had to get rid of him for that reason. I think Willie Randolph was a great manager.
Well, what
that's just me.
What we're starting to see is, yeah, maybe it wasn't so much Willie's fault. Maybe it's the bumbling buffoons that they have running the team.
Well, this is the thing. So I know Met fans out there want, you know, they want a dirt devil, you know, a human-sized dirt devil, and they want Omar and they want Jerry out, which is fine. I wouldn't say boo to the people who said that. But a lot of injuries this year. You give them one more go at it. If that's the Wilpon, listen, if the Wilpons want to give them one more go at it, then this is it. Next year, I don't care about injuries. I don't care about the guys they get in the offseason. If you don't win next year, if you don't make the playoffs with the salary, the team salary that we have, you are gone. You're gone. Get it done or get out.
Well said.
And if they don't do that, and the Mets don't make the playoffs next year, this is a Mickey Mouse organization, and something has to be done.
Can't say it any better than that, Chris.
All right, Joey. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, we'll hit the NFL up. Michael Vick, Brett Favre, Giants, Jets, and more when we come back on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Hey, Chris, this is Bill from Monroe, New Jersey. And I usually don't call these shows and things like that, but when I heard your sidekick say that Brett Favre is the most overrated quarterback in the NFL, I had a call. This guy just sounds like he's another armchair quarterback who never strapped on a chin strap in his life. 3-time MVP, Super Bowl champion. That guy can play on my team any day of the week. Thanks for your time.
Armchair quarterback? You know, I do have a name as well here. I'm not just a sidekick.
Wow.
What am I, Sideshow Bob here?
Wow.
First of all,
yes. Sideshow Joe?
Sideshow Joe. Sideshow Luke Perry. But here's the thing. He, you know, claims or says that I probably have never worn a chin strap or played football. Well, let me tell you something. My peewee team was very good, all right? And secondly, all right, just because I made a claim that Brett Favre, who I think is the most overrated quarterback, I'm not saying that he's not good. I'm just saying, is he a top 5 quarterback, in my opinion. No, I consider Brady better than him. I consider Unitas better than him. I consider Montana, Young, Aikman. There are guys, Bradshaw. These are guys that are winners. Is he a top 10 quarterback? Yes.
You had me until Steve Young.
All I'm saying, he's got the best passer rating in the history of the NFL.
That's fine.
That's all I'm saying.
He also ran the West Coast offense, very short passes, Jerry Rice.
Sorry, Joe Montana, but I considered Montana. To me, Joe Montana's the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, because he did everything he was supposed to do. He hit those little slant patterns. Most of his yardage was because of Jerry Rice and the rack, the run after the catch.
I will give you a quarterback that's even better within your own organization, sir, because I believe you are a Packers fan. Bart Starr. Bart Starr was a winner. Not saying Brett Favre.
Brett Favre is a winner, too.
He won a Super Bowl, botched another Super Bowl, okay? And all I'm saying is when you throw the most interceptions, I understand he's got all these records, the most interceptions in the history of the NFL, not doing something right.
See, everybody last week, and wow, what a way to start off the last segment. A little fire out of Joey. Love it. Love it. But everybody last week was talking about he's tainting his legacy. The man is not tainting his legacy.
No.
The legacy is his. He said, my legacy is my legacy. He's right.
No, you're right.
Who is anyone on the planet to tell Brett Favre he can't play football? No one could tell him that. It's his life. And you know what? Sometimes you can't give it up. You can't walk away. He was forced to retire by the Packers. Forced. Because they made their decision to go with Aaron Rodgers. And you made a great point last week, Joey.
No, you're right. Yeah.
You made a great point saying that Ted Thompson, even though he made that choice, it was either keep Brett Favre for another couple years and ride off into the sunset with him, or lose Aaron Rodgers to another team. And this is a guy that they drafted pretty damn high.
Yeah, yeah, they used
and they
the
weren't
high draft
just going to let him go. So Thompson painted himself into a corner a little bit.
Right.
He had to do what he had to do. But what Thompson has to understand is Favre didn't want to go out like that. Favre didn't want to be, you know, the 37, 38-year-old quarterback who bled green and gold for this team and just be crapped on and told to retire when he still had something left in the tank. I understand Aaron Rodgers. I understand that completely. You don't want to lose the kid. But at the same time, if you still have the fire and the determination and the heart to get back there and play football, damn it, he's going to play.
And you're right. And it's his legacy. This is the way he wants to go out, and nobody can tell him that. But I just want to be clear. I do think Brett Favre is a good quarterback. I didn't want this guy to think that he's not a good quarterback. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's overrated.
You could always count on Joey to bring levity to any situation.
That's it. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Call up again.
Well, Favre, yes, please. The number 646-487-3668. If you disagree with us, if you agree with us, you could also, if you don't want to be on the show via the phone call, you could also email us as well.
Right.
You could leave an email. We'll read it on the air. So if you're worried about calling and you don't want to hear yourself talk, fine. Email us, trash us, agree with us. Whatever you want to do, just do two things. Keep it short. And no cursing. That's all we ask.
Yes.
Right? Keep it clean. That's
all
we ask.
And don't forget, the number is 646-487-3668.
Thank you. 646-487-3668. Now, Brett Favre is going to be playing Monday night against Houston. It'll be the Vikings' third preseason game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And also playing this week is Michael Vick.
Right.
He'll be making his first appearance for the Philadelphia Eagles. We talked at length about this last week. I'm not going to get into the whole second chance thing again because it's tired.
No, I mean,
it's old.
Talked about it. Yeah.
We're moving on.
Yes.
Now the Eagles, I saw yesterday, are going to partner up with the animal rights people. So the organization,
you cannot
get on this organization. They are doing all the right things. Okay, Vic is doing all the right things
and saying all the right things.
This is the difference between Michael Vick and Dante Stallworth and Leonard Little. Michael Vick repaid his debt to society. He was in jail. He served his time. He served it. Okay, this is his livelihood. Football's his livelihood. Stallworth's going to be back in the NFL next year. He only got suspended for a year. Leonard Little, who killed someone, as we said last week, in a DUI accident, He's tackling people for the Rams. He's back. Plaxico Burress is off to jail for 2 years. I guarantee something, when he gets out, he'll be back. Where's the outrage? I understand how people could be mad about Vic and what he did to those dogs who were defenseless animals. I get that. I was a dog owner. Loved that dog with all of my heart. Would never do anything to harm another animal. I wouldn't hunt. I would never pick up a gun and shoot an animal. Or myself in the leg, for that matter.
Yes.
But I think the Eagles and Michael Vick are doing everything right to come back and play in this league. And I hate the Eagles. Being a Giants fan, I hate the Eagles, but they're doing everything right.
Yeah, and you know what? Like you said, every move that Michael Vick has made so far has been good. His interview on 60 Minutes was good. His press conference was good. Having Tony Dungy mentor him is good. Working with these animal rights groups, everything. He's doing all of the right things.
He just can't slip up. I mean, now he's on zero tolerance. Here's the thing. Goes back to biblical times. Okay? Let he who hath not sinned cast the first stone. You know what? You might call me an idiot for saying that, but digest that. How have you lived your life? Huh? You never made a mistake? Never did anything wrong? I understand you might not have killed an animal. Fine. Did you go out and kill a deer and put it on your wall? That's sporting? Killing a defenseless deer? You don't eat the meat. You just put the head on the wall. That's fine.
A doe-eyed little deer.
Thank you for the My Cousin Vinny for the levity.
Sorry about that.
But
all I'm saying,
and I'm not condoning what he did to these dogs.
Right.
I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. It's just people have to like. It goes back to the old hip hop too. I'm going biblical. I'm going hip hop.
Wow.
Check yourself before you check another. That's all I'm saying. Worry about your business.
And on that note, wow. Ho ho.
Thank you, Ed. All right, really quick, let's touch on the Giants and Jets. First, we'll go Jets because that was the breaking news this week. As we said on this podcast not too long ago, and listen, we weren't breaking any ground when we said it. Mark Sanchez is your starting quarterback.
Yes.
And that's a no-brainer. Kellen Clemens, look, you know, he's in a lose-lose situation. You draft a guy fifth at a USC with his pedigree and everything else, and you have a good offensive line, which is a little banged up now, but by the time the season starts, it should be back together again.
Right.
Well, you gotta start the kid.
You gotta start him. And here's the other thing. We saw in his first start that he was not that good. But look, the bottom line is, what Jet fans have to understand, give the kid some time.
This is your future.
He's gonna go through growing.
Yeah, we said this a while ago on the podcast. This is an exciting year of football in the New York area. The Giants have a stacked team, which didn't look too stacked against the Bears. And the Jets are starting a new era.
Yeah.
This is your new guy. This is your quarterback. This is like when the Giants put Eli Manning in. Hey, Giants went on to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
Jet fans, you got to grow with this kid. You got to, you know, you got to take the hits. You got to take the bangs. You got to take everything. You got to take the interceptions. It's just the way it is. It's the way it's going to be. And you got to hope that this kid grows. And under Rex Ryan and that defense, hopefully, you know, Sanchez doesn't have to do everything. And that defense could step up. And all Sanchez has to do is make little to no mistakes.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, Chris. But I want to talk about the Giants, though,
real quick. All right, go ahead.
I mean, you look at the performance that they had against the Bears. It was not their best performance. Maybe they were kind of reading their own press a little bit.
Well, that's what Coughlin alluded to, that, you know, he told the players to their face, don't let the media tell you what you are. You define what you are. And I think
That's
good for a head coach to do, because you and I are guilty of it. After one preseason game, we're like, Super Bowl. You got to give it time.
I agree. And look, the bottom line is, maybe this is the swift kick in the butt that they need. The injury bug has hit them a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. Jay Alfred, you know, he's got the torn MCL.
And he was the guy who OC said, you know, you have to look out for this one this year.
But they are deep. They are deep.
They're deep.
That's something that, you know, you really have to look for. And I think they're going to be okay when
this is all
said and done.
As far as the defense goes against the Bears, again, they didn't have a full defense out there. They still had injuries and people weren't dressed. Offensively, you know, they didn't have two offensive linemen. They had two backups starting, and it looked like it. The offensive line looked like a sieve. Eli Manning had no time to throw. The one bright spot was Brandon Jacobs, who ran over Brian Urlacher. Yes. Not once, but twice. And it, to get a response from the Bears sideline, you saw it on the slow-mo replay, the Bears sideline was just like, wow.
Yeah.
He just ran over Urlacher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could take the good, you could take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the New York Giants.
The facts of life.
Yeah, that too. I don't know why that just popped into my head.
Wow.
Mrs. Garrett. Girls! That's a good note to end things on, isn't it? Oh, God. Family Guy is tremendous. Anyway.
You have both?
All right. Hope you enjoyed the podcast this week, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages. Next week, Joe and I will be back for another week's worth of sporting events.
Come on down.
One more Price is Right joke before we end things. Yankees, once again, first place. Feels good to be a Yankee fan. Everybody with those glass half-empty cups. Joe Boo needs a refill. Fill them up, everybody. We'll see you next week here on the Off the Wall podcast.
Log on to yesnetwork.com for the best Yankees coverage on the web, and come back every Wednesday for a new edition of Off the Wall with Chris Shear.